This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari. Welcome to Y-Space.
With another edition of Space Adventures in the Sky.
Yeah.
And the sky in November is the most interesting one because the Milky Way, Jupiter is back, but the Milky Way is now surrounding the horizon. So we can't really see it after sunset, that is.
Or when the moon's out.
Yeah, or when the moon's out. And the moon is going to get larger and larger and brighter in the sky.
Well, it won't get larger. It'll just get more round.
Yeah, I'm more round, but like a bit more to it than the croissant that it is right now.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful, beautiful moon. It's visible in the evening sky.
And what's really cool is if you go out and look at the moon, say, it'll be probably more than, it'll be about 60-70% illuminated, won't it? So actually it won't be anywhere near, but in the evening, you'll see the moon pretty high up and not far off being a full moon, a few days away from it. But out to the west, there'll be Venus looking bright as. And just underneath Venus, you'll see a reddish star or orange star, especially when it's a wee bit dark. And that'll be Antares. But just below that, you'll see Mercury. And Mercury is a similar brightness to Antares. So you'll see these two orange-looking stars. The lower one's, of course, not a star. It's the planet Mercury.
Just hanging out in the sky. So beautiful. So beautiful, as usual. And then on the opposite side, Jupiter is coming up.
Yeah, it's rising. In fact, it'll be almost... Well, you've got to hang around for about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
10:30 to set, but that rises and it's quite northeast, isn't it?
But if you go to bed after midnight, like we do,
and then you will see it, and nice and high.
When we drive home from Star Safari,
yeah.
Jupiter is just so beautiful out there in the night sky.
So we had a look at it last night. In fact, first time we looked at Jupiter for a while, it looked pretty good. So the conditions weren't great last night. The seeing wasn't very good, so you couldn't, and the planet was quite low when we're looking at it, so you couldn't see the banding on the planet, unfortunately, but you could totally see the moons, those four moons, Io, Europa, Callisto, and Ganymede, hanging out around Jupiter. And these are big moons. You've got Io is just a tad bigger than our moon, and Europa's a little bit smaller. And then the other two are huge moons. I think they're both bigger than Mercury. One's about the size of Mercury, and the other one's a little bit bigger. And Ganymede, of course, is the biggest moon in the whole solar system. And so that little monster, or big monster, big ball of ice hanging out around Jupiter. And three of them, of course, are big balls of ice, well, covered in ice. And Io is the rocky volcanic one. That's the close one to Jupiter. No chance of seeing the Great Red Spot or the not-so-great anymore Red Spot.
Well, yeah, what happened there?
Well, it shrunk.
So the Great Red Spot, it's a storm that has been raging for 400 years. And, well, at least this is how long we've been observing it in the telescopes, that is, because you need a telescope to see the Red Spot. And this year it was shrinking rapidly.
Not this year, over the last few years.
Yeah,
last sort of 10 years, it's been, well, longer actually, it's been ever so slightly getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
And it used to be the size of three Earths. So you could fit three Earths in the Great Red Spot. And, you know, like you go to school and when it opened Jupiter, you'd see the Great Spot on Jupiter.
He always in picture books and stuff always has it.
And every kid ever, when we go with a planetarium, wants to see the Great Red Spot.
Yeah, it's famous.
And we grew up with the Great Red Spot, and now the Great Red Spot is not anymore.
Now, the problem with it, of course, is if you want to actually see it for real in a telescope, a couple of things got to happen. One, you've got to have real good conditions. So it has to be perfect conditions, and that's what we call seeing. So that's how just how sharp everything's going to look in the telescope. And last night was not good seeing, so nothing looked very sharp. And certainly Jupiter didn't. So there was no hope at all of seeing the Great Red Spot last night. But there has been times, and of course the Great Red Spot's shrinking, so you need really good conditions and a decent sized telescope to get that angular resolution. Used to be you didn't need a very big telescope to see the spot. Now you need a reasonably sized one. But I think the last time I actually saw the red spot was last year. A very brief hint of it, and it was in the 16-inch telescope, so plenty of aperture to get that angular resolution, and the conditions were pretty good. But it is hard to see because this doesn't really stand out, does it? Visually.
Yeah, visually it doesn't. But we did see it. I do remember seeing it. But I think that would have been the last time
Yeah.
we would have seen it.
So
Because
the last measurement of it had it smaller than the had the Earth smaller than the Great Red Spot. No, the other way around. Great Red Spot smaller than the
smaller
Earth.
than
So
the Earth, yeah.
under 12,000 kilometers in
So
radius.
that's a bit sad. I'm a bit sad that the red spot is going because it was quite an icon for Jupiter. Now Jupiter, the only thing it has left is banned,
And the biggest planet in the solar system, being the
95
biggest,
moons, the largest magnetic,
shepherds all the asteroids away
yeah,
from us.
the largest magnetic field.
Well, not
So
all of them.
not so much, not so much stuff left for Jupiter. Now that the great red spot is gone.
It's a big planet though, like crazy big.
And it even featured in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, even had a movie about
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
I mean, not the whole movie, but it was great features. They were driving
And
the
the person's name was Jupiter, not so much
spaceship.
the planet.
Yeah. So it's sad to see it going. But back to the night sky,
But
Jupiter is,
Jupiter's not going,
well, the
just the
great
red
red
spot.
spot is going up. But it is still like, what's going to happen with all those books that have been published with the great red spot in
Well,
them?
it's interesting. So I was reading something a few months ago where the Great Red Spot that they saw originally back in the early 1600s may not be the same Great Red Spot that we see today. There was some thought that maybe it disappeared and then reappeared. And of course, it's hard to unpick all this because they weren't so flash at the observations back in the 1600s, and the telescopes that were available weren't that great. They were new, and so they were getting better. So it might be that the Great Red Spot disappears in the next couple of decades, but then reappears later on. And
That would
it's
be interesting.
because if you ever see Jupiter in a telescope, it's got these big bands going across it. And you normally see like two kind of brown bands. And if you've got really good conditions, you can make out these other bands as well. If you take a photo, you'll see lots of bands, and they kind of alternate between sort of darkish colors and then white, lighter colors. And those bands are basically circulation going around the planet. So when you've got two bands together, one's going one way, one's going the other way. And of course, that's what drives the Great Red Spot, the big storm, and lots of other storms. But for whatever reason, this particular storm is just really persistent. You know, like you think on Earth, we have hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons and all those, real big storms as they go around, depending where they are in the world, give them the name. They don't last that long. They last long enough to do a horrendous amount of damage, but then they just dissipate. But you think something that is, bigger than Earth, spinning around, around, around for hundreds of years. So something's driving it and keeping that going, which is quite amazing, really.
Now, today is 12th of November, and 12th of November is actually a very, very, very special day. 12th of November, it's the new year on Mars.
Ah,
This year,
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, Martians. If there is any life on Mars, Happy New Year. Now, how did the Mars New Year come about? Well, it happens every equinox. So Mars is now orbiting the sun in 687 days. So it takes just about twice the amount of time that the Earth takes to orbit.
Well, so what's an equinox? That's probably something we need to say. So you've got Mars, it's spins around and around and around. Well, it spins around the sun, right? So that's its orbit. And then it spins around on its own axis. And so Mars has a day, which is just a tad longer than our day. Now, the Earth, we also spin around, despite what the flat earthers might think. We're doing the spinning. There's nothing else. Well, there is other stuff spinning, but we're the ones spinning. So sun comes up, sun goes down. That's how it appears to look to us. And what we notice throughout the year is that how long the day is varies. And some of the days are quite long, and in winter the days are a bit shorter. And if you go up close to the poles, that variance is more extreme. So you can get to the point actually where it can be daytime all day long. In fact, for many days, like at the poles, or nighttime for a long time, like at the poles. And of course, you go to the equator, you'll have a period of time where the days and nights are very, very close together. So this is caused because the Earth's axis is on a bit of a tilt, it's on a bit of a lean. And so as we're trundling around the sun, that length of time of day and night varies a little bit depending on the time of the year as you're spinning around the sun. Now Mars does pretty much the same thing. It's got an axis that's tilted over a bit.
A little bit, just like Earth is 25 degrees compared to 23.5 that
we have here on Earth. Yeah, it's a little bit, tad more, but not much. So it's pretty simple. Pretty amazing, actually. So its day length is similar to Earth, and its axis tilt is similar to Earth. So it has seasons, which is quite neat. So it has but the seasons, of course, much longer because it takes longer to go around the sun.
But also very interesting, something really big hit Earth, and now we have a moon, and something really big hit Mars, and now Mars has a Hellas Basin, which is a big, big, I don't know, plane on Mars now. It's a big dimple on Mars.
So the equinox is when you have the nighttime and the daytime the same length. And that occurs when the sun is at midday is directly overhead the equator. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have that on Mars, which will be today, 12th of November.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're sitting on the equator on Mars and you look straight up, you're going to see the sun. It's going to cast a shadow at your feet, which will be weird because it looks like you won't have a shadow.
And it's the new year, which is happening every two Earth years on Mars, which is it's a very, very cool thing to think about it because we don't really think about this. And this is an arbitrary designation.
They had to pick a time. Yeah.
Two competitive times still, but this is the most widely recognized. The European Space Agency has agreed to it, and NASA has agreed to it. So that's very,
who
very
disagrees?
Good. Some scientists who were doing some observations before. And so... For the Martians, if you would be there, that's when you would have to prepare all your Christmas before, just after Christmas.
Yeah.
So
take down your decorative rocks that you've put outside because there's no trees. So
yeah.
You can't have a tree.
But where I was getting with my moon heating the Earth and this big rock heating Mars is that maybe that's the reason why both planets have an inclined axis. And maybe that's the reason why both planets have, I don't know about the length of the day, because that's a bit bizarre. Mars is a third smaller than the Earth. But it is interesting that Mars has almost the same day length as we have here on Earth. And that's really cool, because if you go there, it won't be too weird. And especially what we learned from Philippa Gander during the Cartesian Space Week, which was just around
a few weeks ago. Yep.
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Well, a month ago.
Yeah. We learned from her that actually our brain has this innate ability to keep the time, but it always goes a little bit ahead. So in our mind, the days are kept with just a few minutes, maybe half an hour to 1 hour in advance. So it's continuously advancing. So the length of the day on Mars, which is 24 hours and almost 40 minutes, would be perfect for our brain. And so I'm not saying that we should go there. Actually, what I'm saying is we shouldn't. We should leave Mars alone, because if Mars might have life, we don't want to disturb it. We would love to know if there is life on Mars. As I think everybody knows, everybody who's interested in Mars, it's absolutely fascinating with the possibility of maybe Mars having life. But if we do find life on Mars, we should probably leave Mars alone. It's not a good planet to leave anyway. You have to wear your spacesuit outside all the time, otherwise you would explode and things like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't last very
Very
long.
unpleasant stuff would happen to you if you wouldn't be extremely careful all the time. So I can imagine that would be a very stressful thing for any astronaut to actually go to Mars and leave there, even though they're like highly trained. But you know, still, you have to fear for your life all the time and be very deliberate about everything that you do.
The axis tilt varies a lot
It
on
does,
Mars, and
yeah.
this is the big difference between Earth. Well, there's many big differences, but one of the many big differences is the axis tilt on Mars varies a lot. And Earth does, we have a wee bit of a wobble on our axis tilt that it can be, it goes up, I think it goes up to about 25 and then goes back down to about, what, 22 or something, isn't it? So it has about a 3 degree range in there. And if I remember off the top of my head, I think it's something like 140,000 years that it sort of wobbles between. Now that,
Which is a piece of cake.
Well, which is quite interesting. So there's you have so on Earth we've got a bunch of these cycles that occur. You've got the axis tilt. It also precesses, so it goes round and round and round a 26,000 year cycle. You've got the obliquity changing, and then you've got also the way the Earth rotates around the Sun, that eccentricity of the Earth's orbit changes as well. So sometimes it's a bit closer, sometimes a bit further away. Now, year on year, that's pretty much the same amount, but that does change over long, long, long periods of time. So, if you add all those cycles up, you get a bit of a, in effect, it's Milankovitch cycles. And so, that's sort of one of the big drivers for these large climate swings on Earth up until recently, up until people started coming along. Now we are the big driver on climate swings, but prior to us, it was the Milankovitch cycles, and so they get these big glaciations and stuff like that. So these things have a huge difference, or can cause huge difference in climate. Now on Mars, when you've got sometimes that axis can tip right over, and so at the moment,
90 degrees,
yeah,
yeah.
at the moment the cold patches like Earth are at the poles, and when it tips right over to 90 degrees, you've got a really weird situation. Ice starts depositing at the equator on Mars, which is a bit strange. Anyway, then the thing can tip back right up to being straight up and down again. So you've got this really weird variation occurring in Mars over long periods of time. And so, of course, that causes climate havoc on Mars. It can have periods where it's even colder than it is now in different parts of it, and then it has periods where it's a bit warmer. And at the moment, it's in one of these bit warmer periods. So the cycle of melting and depositing of ice and carbon dioxide ice, you get these layer upon layer upon layer, like a cake of stuff happening, especially at the poles and at the equator underground stuff. And so this is what scientists are trying to piece together. Because when we look at Mars, you look at all these water features all over Mars. You've got river valleys, you've got flooding kind of
Ice
things.
everywhere.
Yeah, you've got like landslides. Really, really strange features. Some of them are really, really big. So it looks like in the past that Mars has had these big periods of flooding happening in certain places. And of course, scientists are trying to work out, well, how does that happen? How do you get kind of these big cataclysmic floods on a place that's mostly dry and the water seems to be locked up as ice underground? And so this tilting of the axis over and back up and over and back up seems to create all these deposits. And then every so often it gets a bit warmer in certain points, like around the poles. And then all the water comes gushing out, and making these landslides and things. Well, anyway, I was reading a paper the other day that was saying, you know, one of the mechanisms a scientist was looking at was actually if you had all this water gushing out from the underneath the ice cap, which has this nice protective layer of carbon dioxide ice on it, it actually forms like a it could form a layer on top of a river, and this layer could be a few meters deep of ice. So that gives a bit of pressure and protects it from the vacuum or the near vacuum above, and the water can actually flow for quite some distance. So it's interesting. We look at these river valleys and we straight away think of, oh, you know, Earth-like rivers. Might be the rivers on Mars might be like nothing we've seen, or nothing that we see commonly, except maybe in places, you know, on the fringe of glaciers and things like that. But it's
But it is, Mars is a fabulous place, and it is the most amazing planet that is in our reach, within our reach. And I really hope Elon Musk or anybody else, they're gonna stay here, home on Earth, and don't go to Mars and destroy it. And if we do ever go to Mars, which I hope we will, we go there with science and respecting the planet and the place. And in the meantime, concentrate on how to fix things back here on Earth and use that space technology, which is why space technology, it's so wonderful to improve life here on Earth. I think that's one of the best things we've got from exploring space, all of the stuff that we invent, because space is so hard to explore. As we were mentioning, if you don't pay attention, you die. We can use all of that here on Earth to improve lives, to save lives, to do MRI scanners, to go to the doctor and get our temperature taken in a few seconds, and have braces that are invisible and anti reflex glasses and all of that stuff, amazing stuff, flame retardant materials, all of that stuff that comes from space research that we can
But
use here.
that's a side benefit, right? So that's stuff that happens because we, it's not what, we don't do this stuff so that we
No, we
get
don't.
knowledge.
No.
We do this stuff because we're actually curious about how stuff
Because we
works out
can.
in
Yeah.
the solar system. So, miniaturizing things to stick on a rover on Mars is not because we're seeking to miniaturize things. We can do that for any number of reasons. But it's a byproduct of the, you can't have a very big rover. It has to operate on hardly any power, and it's got to operate for a long time. But why it's there? Well, it's trying to answer these big questions. How did all this stuff form? What was the history of Mars? Is there life there? Was there life there? All these kind of things. And they are the big questions which drive this, which is pretty amazing, really.
Which is why we need to respect Mars and
Yeah,
every
not
place
wreck
that we
it.
go and not wreck it.
Yeah. All right, well, that's us. We're running out of
Well,
time.
Happy New Year's. Happy New Year on
Yeah,
Mars.
happy Martian New Year,
Happy
everyone.
Martian New Year. Yep. And the next one will be in 2 years, but we'll be here to do another show.
Yeah.
And until then, clear skies and all the best from Harry and Sam.
Yeah, go and check out Jupiter.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.